your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everyone, happy Monday. You're listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. My name is Sarah Avampato, host of Locked On Kings, host of two of five editions of Locked On NHL, here today bringing you some of the biggest stories from across the league. We are starting things out by looking at Western Canada and the Vancouver Canucks. Justin Morissette of Locked On Canucks joins the show today to explain all the latest news that is going on with the Canucks, who are facing a major COVID-19 outbreak on their team, including roster players, coaching staff, taxi squad players. So we are going to take a look at what is going on with the Canucks. And then we turn our gaze south to the Detroit Red Wings, who are looking towards the trade deadline, let's say, but at least coming off a nice, fun, exciting win against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Nolan Bianchi of Locked On Red Wings is here today to explain what his team has to look forward to as we come down the stretch. So we are going to start things off right now with Justin Morissette of Locked On Canucks.
So the big news story that is dominating the NHL news, and really it's kind of leaking outside of NHL news corridors and really just sort of hitting anyone who covers sports, is the Vancouver Canucks, who progressively have had more and more players added to the COVID protocol list in what is now basically a full-blown COVID outbreak among the Canucks. And so we have on the show today Justin Morissette, old friend of the program, jumping back on Locked On NHL to give us the details on what's going on with the Canucks. And Justin, as always, a pleasure to talk with you, but I wish that we were talking about something other than what is going on with the Canucks right now.
Absolutely, Sarah. I was about to say the same thing. A pleasure to be here. It's just unfortunate that it comes under such circumstances because, yes, with the updated COVID protocol list that the NHL put out on Sunday afternoon, the Canucks number is now up to 16 people on the COVID protocol list, which, like, it must be pointed out, even though it's kind of a moot point, as we're going to get to in just a second here, that being on the protocol list does not necessarily mean that you've tested positive for COVID. It means you're being monitored or that you're a close contact of someone who has tested positive. For example, Canadian fans will remember about 2 weeks ago, we had our first positive tests in the North Division with the Montreal Canadiens, Joel Armia and Jesperi Kotkaniemi. In the end, Kotkaniemi did not actually have COVID-19. Unfortunately, even though this is very interesting, and I wish that it gave some hope that not every single one of these guys actually did have the virus, there's been reporting locally here in Vancouver, Patrick Johnston of the Vancouver province, saying that of the 14 names that were on the list previously to the latest update on Sunday, including a 15th coach who does not get included in that group, but is also someone who is being monitored, 14 of the 15 actually did have confirmed positive cases. And the most scary part of this, Sarah, right now is that it is not just normal COVID we are looking at least in some of these cases. I can't say for all of them, but I would be surprised if it's not the majority, given if it's some. This is how this virus spreads. We are looking at the P1 variant, which originated out of Brazil initially. It is said to be 2.5 times more transmissible than the normal strain of COVID-19. It is also something that does have a serious health impact on young people who might be more asymptomatic, I guess, if they had caught the more common strain of the virus. So two concerns there, not just the fact that this is already one of the biggest outbreaks that we've seen in North American professional sports to date. It's also the first outbreak that we've seen that includes a variant strain of the virus, and it is a particularly frightening variant at that.
Like, in tracing things back to when this started and when players started first going on the COVID list, is there any sort of indication of, you know, how this snowballed from one guy to basically out of control? Like, is there any idea of just where it came from?
I was first concerned because when those cases with the Habs were announced 2 weeks ago, Vancouver had just played Montreal, like literally the day before. And yet the NHL was kind of insistent that there was no possibility that there had been any sort of cross-contamination there. I would have preferred to see them, you know, shut things down just as a precaution. In the end, ultimately, that proves to be another moot point because Adam Gaudette was the first confirmed case on the Canucks. And in speaking with his wife, Michaela, I can tell you that they were told by the team, after having told them everything that they'd done in their personal lives over the last couple of weeks, that this did come from community contact. It was picked up, you know, being out of the house, probably picking up groceries or something as simple as that. So Gaudette was the first one to pick it up through community tracing. And from there, you know, I think there is an inherent flaw in the way that the NHL was conducting itself here that didn't prove to be costly until this past week, because when Gaudette got that positive test, he was actually removed from the ice at the time. He was on the ice practicing with the second unit power play. Somebody had to come out and tell him he had tested positive and remove him from the group. At that point, Sarah, it's way too late, right? Like, I'm pretty sure if you were to look at the way the NBA has handled its business this year, if you were to look at maybe not Major League Baseball because they've got their problems too, certainly, but I'm pretty sure that the NHL is the only sports league that's operating right now that is allowing guys to participate as normal before their test results come back, because that comes from maybe an overconfidence, an arrogance that we haven't had a problem here with the league so far. Everything was safe in the bubble playoffs last year. We're good. This is just a formality to do those tests. Get out there. Let's practice. That is a very, very costly decision, because that's the way it spread, right? If you had caught it when it was just Gaudette, you could have isolated him, and maybe this would have been something that would have happened anyways, because you probably caught it too late. Given the nature of this virus, you're already transmitting it when you're not even symptomatic, really. So I guess they were kind of maybe doomed no matter what happened here, especially with a variant that is extra contagious. But it is sort of disheartening to see the sort of like Mickey Mouse way that this was seemingly handled, in a player being pulled off the ice with a positive test. Like, at that point, you have to know that everyone he's on the ice with, everyone he's been in contact with, are probably all going to test positive as well. And Sarah, that is exactly what the NHL is anticipating right now. Like, we do have 16 Canucks currently on the list, in Jalen Chatfield, Travis Boyd, Thatcher Demko, Alex Edler, Adam Gaudette, Travis Hamonic, Jace Haraluk, Braden Holtby, Bo Horvat, Quinn Hughes, Zach McEwen, Mark Michaelis, Tyler Mott, Tyler Myers, Antoine Roussel, and Brandon Sutter. It would be easier to tell you which Canucks are not on the COVID protocol list right now. But the NHL is fully anticipating that by week's end, it will be every single person on the team testing positive. And we do know as well that there are two additional cases on the taxi squad that do not get listed on the protocol list for some reason. And not just one, but three members of the coaching staff are being monitored at the moment as well.
We've got more with Justin coming up right after this. Right now, though, let's talk about Built Bar. If you haven't heard, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It is the personal favorite of a whole bunch of us here over at the Locked On Podcast Network. We just got finished wrapping up Built Bar Madness, crowning the champion of the whole darn thing, which means that, like, you have a whole bunch of flavors to try, maybe that you didn't get to try while Built Bar Madness was going on, and now you find that you're intrigued by some of these flavors you haven't had before. There are 18 amazing flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, mint brownie, salted caramel, and many more. Plus, there's usually some fun limited edition flavors that are floating around out there. There are Built Bar Puffs, there are Churro Puffs, there are Built Bar Bites, all sorts of great stuff for you. The best thing of all, aside from the fact that they taste super delicious, is that Built Bars are healthy. So they're great if you are health conscious, they're great if you are looking to have a healthy snack that also happens to taste super delicious. They are low in calories, low in sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they are great no matter what your dietary needs are. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order, and pick your own personal Built Bar favorite. That is BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15. You can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Now let's learn a little bit more about the Vancouver Canucks.
You raised a good point, too, about how, you know, Adam Gaudette was playing before they pulled him off the ice. And this isn't the first time that we have heard that happen, of a guy getting pulled in warmups or getting pulled in the second period or practicing in that morning and then gets pulled from the roster before a game because of a positive test. And like you said, like, they've been playing with fire in a way of allowing this sort of lax, you know, protocol to happen. And now we do have that worst case scenario of one guy was allowed to practice while waiting for his test results. And now we see where we're at. And I feel like every time it's happened, you know, fans and media and stuff have been like, why are we doing this? Like, why are we allowing players on the ice who don't have a test result in yet or whatever? Like, this is ridiculous. And everyone's been like, well, it's been fine. And clearly now it is not.
Yeah. And I hate the fact that the fan inclination is to blame a player, that this must be the fault of someone who broke the bubble or has done something reckless, you know, hooked up with a girl when they're not supposed to right now or whatever. Like, there's all sorts of mud like that being thrown around. I really wish we could see more of the human side of this, because especially with something like P1 that is so much more transmissible and so much more dangerous. You know, there are people who are thinking that this reflects badly on the Canucks, that as an organization, they should have been able to prevent this. You know, I feel bad for them if people do have that perception, because what are the Canucks supposed to do about the fact that Vancouver is the epicenter right now in North America for this P1 variant that came from Brazil? It's currently spreading. You're starting to see examples of it popping up in Alberta and Ontario and maybe in the States as well. But, you know, in North America, the first city to really have a big problem with it was probably Whistler, British Columbia, and it made its way down into the lower mainland too. You know, anecdotally, we don't get the evidence necessarily handed to us by the local government in terms of where spread is happening and so on, etc. All we are given are numbers in terms of the health area that cases are happening. But if you are, you know, an active member of your community, or if you're, you know, going out for a daily run or whatever, or even if you're trying not to go out and are ordering food off of the apps to stay in your home, you are going to notice that a lot of your favorite restaurants and spots like that are currently undergoing temporary closures. And what does that mean? It probably means their entire staff has gotten infected with the P1 variant as well. It is just slicing through our city right now like a Bushido blade, basically. It's insane. And it's really unfortunate that, of course, it made its way through to the Canucks as well. But I think there has to be a lesson there, which is, look at what Vancouver was doing. This is a massively secure operation that had all kinds of stringent protocols and an enormous PPE budget. It still destroyed their entire system in a matter of days. This thing is very dangerous. We need to be taking it seriously. And I hope that this can spark a kind of paradigm shift about the way this virus spreads and the severity of it as well, because there's so many people in the fandom right across hockey, right across the world, outside of hockey fandom, people in general are of the belief that if you catch this virus, it's no big deal, right? Especially if you're a young person or athletic or in great shape, as all of these guys are. They are still getting hit with it really, really hard this week. We had a report on Friday night that the Canucks have been sending, team medical staff to administer IV drips in players' homes. They are that dehydrated and being rocked by this thing. It's extremely serious. We need to take this seriously again, especially when we are so close to a vaccine. And I think that's kind of the most disappointing part, is that the NHL did not have to do this. You know, they did not have to start their season in January, especially when we were so close to having a vaccine available to not just the American teams, but really all teams. If you had just held off and started the season in March, for example, let's say, you wouldn't be dealing with this sort of thing. Instead, they just decided that, you know, we really want next year to be able to start at the normal October time that a season does. That is such incredible, like, business-minded short-sightedness to make this whole thing so much worse. And I can't really fault the NHL for it because I feel like everyone is making those kind of decisions right now, whether it's business, personal, government. Everybody is making the assumption that, oh, if we just, you know, we're so close to this being over. And those decisions, as we're seeing here in Vancouver, have only made things worse, unfortunately.
All of us have been kind of beating since all of this first started is that, you know, COVID especially has a lot of cardiovascular issues. There's a lot of college athletes, for example, who we know have had heart problems after this, and baseball players who have had to not play, and football players and everything. And we all know that, you know, hockey is intense in that regard. And we've had hockey players in the past with heart issues that have cut their career short. And to now have so many players on this team and in the league, really, with this virus, with this variant that is even more severe, you know, you can only wonder what, you know, what that's going to do for their health, let alone, you know, their futures in their career. But just these are young men in the prime of their health, and they still are struggling with this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there have been a number of studies out of Europe that say even if you're a young person who was asymptomatic, who never really displayed any sort of symptoms or was hit by this hard at all, there's still deep damage and scarring that's happened to your lungs and heart that you're not even aware of, that might not become evident for several years down the line. And yeah, when we look at hockey, like you said, I think it's one of the most cardio-driven sports on the planet, personally. Soccer is fake to me. I don't believe that it exists, but, you know, like, it's predetermined as much the same way professional wrestling is. Hockey, now, there's a real sport. Anyways, like, you know, you are risking so much long-term damage to guys who are both your established stars now and guys who are just at the start of their careers and are supposed to carry this league for decades to come. It is heartbreaking to me to see a guy like Quinn Hughes be on that list because, you know, this is a city that has pinned all kinds of hopes to that guy, but it's not just him. It's every single one of these guys, whether they are young or old. There's a lot of guys on that list, Tyler Myers and Travis Hamonic in particular, who have children who are immunocompromised and are being put in a very difficult situation. Travis Hamonic, we all know, he requested a trade out of the New York Islanders several years ago because his daughter has respiratory issues and he wanted her to be close to home, to be receiving proper medical care and have family around that could help, you know, deal with this. This is why he agreed to sign for probably less than he could have to stay in Western Canada because that's where he wants to be. And to see that end up with him getting COVID and his daughter who already has respiratory issues being exposed potentially to this, it's just so tragic. It honestly breaks my heart.
This is one of those things that I think that it doesn't matter what team you're a fan of, what, you know, what your rivalry is, who you hate on a team. You know, this is something that, you know, no one wants to see and no one wants to have long-term repercussions. And I think we're only going to have to hold our breath and wait to see what happens. I will close with, I know the question that I personally hate having to ask it, but this is a hockey show and it is something that I'm sure is on a lot of people's minds. What does this mean for the Canucks? When, you know, when will things unpause, if ever, really?
Well, it's so absurd to me that as we're recording this on, you know, Sunday evening, I hope this is not the case as people listen to this on Monday, but as we're talking right now, Sarah, the Canucks are scheduled to play the Calgary Flames on Thursday and Saturday of this week. Those games have not been postponed yet, despite the fact it would be insane to expect this roster to be able to play. They don't have a single goalie available to them. Their entire team, essentially, is on COVID protocols and is going to be shut down for, you know, the next 2 weeks at least. And you've got Bill Daly giving comments to Sportsnet over the weekend that the league is not contemplating at all shortening the Canucks season or allowing them to play less than the 56 scheduled games when, look, let's be honest, the Canucks are not making the playoffs this year. This was a lost season for them before any of this happened anyways. And a lot of the games that are going to be postponed over the next little while are against the Calgary Flames and the Ottawa Senators, who, again, let's be honest, are not going to make the playoffs either. So what the fuck is the point of playing those games, honestly? And I'm sorry to swear, but this is a really, really important point for me because it's just, it's a level of callousness and business-minded decisions to say that, oh yeah, though, like, this is, you know, ravaging these guys, and some of them might not recover within the 2-week time frame. You don't know. You just don't know with this disease. It's really disappointing to see them say that they have no plans to shorten the season right now. I hope that changes significantly. I don't know if this is the end of Vancouver's season altogether. It very well might be. Elliot Friedman on the panel on Hockey Night on Saturday was saying that is a possibility that the league will have to assess as guys get further along in their recovery. But, you know, I would be shocked. When are we recording this right now? What's the date? It is April 4th at the moment. Yep. I would be shocked if we saw them play again before, I don't know, the 21st. It's just not feasible, honestly. It isn't. And when it's the whole team, once they're out of this, they're going to need practice time to recover. Right. You can't just throw them right back into the fire. And also, why would you do that? We've seen that this is dangerous. Mm-hmm. I don't want other teams flying into Vancouver to play here when the P1 strain is tearing this city apart. I don't want any other team to go through this. And I think the NHL really needs to take a long, hard look at, in the mirror and be honest with themselves about what their actual priorities are. You need to protect your players first and foremost. And I would be fine if the Canucks didn't play a single game for the rest of the year after this. But I do suspect that they will, unfortunately.
Well, we will hope for the best. And certainly I'm keeping all those guys in my thoughts, and of course us here all at Locked On NHL are just hoping that everyone comes out of this with their health and, you know, to heck with hockey games and all of that. That's not important at all at this point. But thank you so much for joining the show today, for explaining all that is going on with Vancouver. Again, really hoping that everything turns out well for all those guys. For people who want to hear more from you and hear more about what is happening with the Canucks and keep up with this new story, where can they find you?
Of course, you can find me on Twitter at Justin Morris. The podcast is Locked On Canucks. I know I have not been the best at putting episodes out over the last little while I had a broken leg as the result of a very unfortunate criminal assault, but I am back now, and it's unfortunate that all of the news I have to talk about is relatively horrible, but hey, they also signed Thatcher Demko this week, so that's something.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
We've got more coming up on Locked On NHL right after this. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, some college basketball, and the NHL are all still in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, so whatever your thing is, they've got you covered. BetOnline.ag has real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. They've got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website BetOnline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDON on BetOnline.ag. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. You can be a waiver wire winner with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season-long Dynasty and DFS League. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's go back to learning about the NHL.
There was a big upset on Sunday night in the NHL with the Detroit Red Wings. I played a little game with a friend when I was checking in on the score of this game, and I said, Detroit is playing Tampa Bay. What do you think the score is and who is winning? And I think she said, like, 6-1 Tampa. And I was like, well, you're wrong. The score was 4-0 Detroit at that point. So we're going to talk about that game because it was not, I think, what anyone expected. I've got Nolan Bianchi from Locked On Detroit Red Wings here to talk about his team's success. We're going to talk about happy stuff before we talk about the struggles. So what was the secret to success in that game? How did you do it?
Well, first off, Sarah, I just want to say in these last two series against the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Red Wings have taken 5 out of 8 available points. Honestly, you know what it was, is that, like, Tampa on the second game that that the Red Wings play them, they always just throw in their backup goaltender. The first game, it was Curtis McElhaney. Today, I can't even remember what the guy's name was. And both times, like, they've been, like, laughably awful. And I don't know if you saw, like, any highlights from the game. Like, the Valtteri Filppula, I'm struggling to think of who scored, but it was, like, all, like, the old farts that you're like, what the hell? It was Filppula, Helm, Larkin had a nice one, Rasmussen, and then Mark Stahl. So Stahl, Filppula, and Helm. I mean, in 2012, like that's to be expected, but we are here in the year of our Lord 2021. And that was just completely unexpected. But I mean, like, if you go back and look, like the Rasmussen goal was garbage. Like it bounced off the backboard and then like it should have been covered very easily. It just went right under his glove and Michael Rasmussen was like, holy crap. He just like smacked it in. And that's what's happened the last two times that the Red Wings have played Tampa in that second game. You caught a sleepy team on the second half of a back-to-back and you get your first win in a full decade in Tampa Bay. They have not won a game in Tampa since Nick Lidstrom was the captain. So that was really nice.
Yeah. I heard that stat on the broadcast and I was like, wait, like I had to like, be like, wait, did I read that right? Did I hear that right? And yeah, since 2011 have been winless there. I think the Mark Stahl goal was really where I saw the internet kind of start being like, what year am I in? What game am I watching? Mark Stahl just scored a goal, like fold the Lightning, like just it's over.
Yeah, Thomas Greiss played well, like that was nice. And, you know, no offense to Thomas Greiss, he's been getting the Jimmy Howard treatment this year. But just like, for whatever reason, when he's in net, the team can score. And then I think he gets all up in his head or something like that. And he can't play goaltender either. And so it just hasn't been a good mix whenever he's been in the net. And today was just one of those days where everything just came together. Little moment of serendipity. I went on a big, I won't bore you with it here and your listeners, but I like went back and I like, you know, traced like the biblical parallels to what had happened with Steve Yzerman, you know, Ken or Chris Ilitch's only son. You know, he's an angel that falls from heaven and ends up going to hell in Tampa. And then, you know, he has all this success, but he doesn't get to enjoy it. Well, it turns out I am going to bore you and your listeners with it. He goes off to have the success. He ends up leaving the year before they have the cup while going through that 17-49-5 season, feeling that anguish, the sacrifice. And then today on Easter, the Detroit Red Wings rise from the dead and officially like break the curse against Tampa Bay. And I think things, a little tongue in cheek here, are going to start looking up.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of looking up, this season, I feel like has not been, at least from an outsider perspective, has not been quite as dire maybe as people had expected for the Red Wings this year. Is this about what you expected coming into the season? Are things looking a little less chaotic or terrible than maybe outsiders are expecting to see from the Red Wings?
Yeah, I mean, like they're still in last place in the division, but I said that going into this year that I don't think it would be a good thing if they finished last in the league, especially in like by a wide margin like they did last year. And so far, like they haven't really done that. The thing with this team last year is that, like, you know, you go into the first intermission and it's shots are like 18-6 and it's nothing. And you're like, oh my gosh, like they're hanging on. And then by the second period, it's like 4-0. Everybody's gone and all that good stuff. But this team, like, if I have one criticism of them, it's that they start slow. And when that happens, they just don't have the offensive firepower to catch up. And you see that on a lot of nights. You saw it, you know, two nights ago against Tampa, they popped in two right away. You saw it in a Nashville game about a week ago. And that's really been the MO of this team. But otherwise, they've hung in there way, way better than last year. And they're picking up wins to show for it. They're only four wins away from matching their total from last year. So that's really nice.
I think we're seeing a lot less of sad Dylan Larkin than we used to see in past seasons. And I think also just the story of Buffalo being so bad, I think has really just taken away from attention from any other team that might be struggling. Everyone is just, let's look at Buffalo.
Yes, exactly. And that's been nice. And then, you know, the Senators had their fun. And the thing with the Senators too, is that like everybody, like they were puffing their chest a little bit. Like they were like, we're coming out of it, you know, and it just, that was not the case. And so there, it's been two nice distractions. And then of course you got the Ducks out West and, you know, the Sharks more or less, not so much lately, but you've had other teams to detract attention away from the clown show that you got going on or that we got going on here in Detroit. And so that's been nice as well to not like constantly be the ha ha ha, look at the stupid Red Wings. That's it's been really nice.
You are coming out of your cage and you're doing
just fine. Just fine.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Well, we are getting close to the trade deadline. And of course, it's going to be the huge topic of discussion on all the Locked On NHL shows and everything. Obviously, Detroit will be selling off some spare parts. Who do you think is going to be on their way out? Basically, everyone who's not nailed down, I assume. And what are you hoping to get back in exchange for getting rid of some of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly going to try to move out everybody that's not nailed down. There are a couple of like key guys that, like, you know, have been coming out pretty much since like the rumor mills really started about a month ago. And that's been Bobby Ryan, but he's been hurt as of late. And same with Jonathan Bernier, too. He got hurt in that Stars game about 2 weeks back, has not returned. And he was looking like one of their bigger trade ships heading into the deadline. So that remains to be seen on whether or not they'll end up moving him. Part of me is kind of hoping that they don't, because this team without him, it's been bleak. It's been terrible. And then on the backside too, I mean, Mark Stahl is a guy who comes up a lot, and I gotta be honest, it doesn't really make sense to me. A lot of people have been talking about how they don't know what the market is going to look like this year because everybody's so cash strapped. And yes, Mark Stahl has been a serviceable defenseman for the Detroit Red Wings this season, much better than myself and pretty much anybody else could have anticipated. But at the same time, his cap hit is $5 million, and I just don't know that he's going to be worth the finagling financially that you might have to do to be able to fit him on your roster. And then the last guy, we got to talk about it. He's an NHL leader in faceoffs. I don't know if you heard, Sarah, Luke Glendening. We're hoping to get, you know, maybe a couple firsts out of him. We've been doing definitely not, but that was a joke. But we've been, you know, harping on that for a long time. The Red Wings broadcast has been doing a nice job of pumping his tires, bringing up the faceoff percentage every game and stuff like that. So who knows? I don't think anybody is off the table. You even got John Merrill on the backside. You know, whoever I think is going to be available.
Well, as someone who is covering a team that is slowly nosediving out of playoff contention, I will close with a question that is also like a little relevant to me. The Kings right now, all I hope for them to do is to cause chaos for all the other teams that are, you know, jockeying for that fourth position. And I just want them to just make every other team have to work a little harder to get into the playoffs. Are you looking forward to Detroit maybe playing spoiler to some of these teams in the division as the season kind of comes to an end?
Absolutely. They got two games left against the Blackhawks, and that series hasn't necessarily gone well this season. So I don't really have high hopes or anything like that. But I mean, you got a couple left against the Blackhawks. You got a couple left against the Blue Jackets, who the Red Wings have been very good against lately. They swept them last weekend. So that'll be fun because, you know, Torts sadness is always hilarious and it's fun to be a part of that. But yeah, definitely. I would say with those two teams specifically, and I mean, you know, the top three, you're not going to touch them. They haven't had really any success against Dallas this year, nor Nashville, really, besides the game that Sam Gagner had a hat trick. Hey, did you know that Sam Gagner had a hat trick? Oh my God, I just found out that Sam Gagner had a hat trick this year. So yeah, I don't know. I got Chicago and Columbus circled on the old calendars there.
I like it. Well, good luck causing being the like chaos gremlins of the Central Division. I'm excited to see that. For people who want to learn more about the Red Wings, who maybe think that their team should trade for Mark Stahl, where can they talk to you and your show online?
We are on Twitter at @LO_Red Wings. I am at Nolan Bianchi.
All righty. Thanks so much. And good luck messing with everyone's season.
Thanks for having me on, Sarah. You too.
Thank you to Justin and Nolan both for jumping on the show today. Make sure you're following them on social media, following their shows, and keeping up with all of the latest news from their teams. That is it for us today here on Locked On NHL. You can find me in the meantime on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. This show is on Twitter at Locked On NHL Pods. So go follow us there. Follow the podcast on your podcast app of choice, including Google, Apple, Spotify, and of course, the Odyssey app. Tell your friends all about it. Make sure you come back tomorrow and every day this week for more great information here on Locked On NHL. Until next time, this has been Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.